Dear ones, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is in thy presence that we have gathered together. We pray, Lord, that we will submit our hearts, our thoughts unto thee. Thou, Lord Jesus, art able to take this hour and make it a blessing unto each one of us as we listen to thee, thy written word, what thou hast left for us, as thou wilt speak to us through thy word, we pray, Lord, that we would simply open our hearts to thee. And we call upon thee, rely upon thee, we wait upon thee, O Lord, that thou would bless us richly in this day that we have set aside to worship thee in thy great name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's worship service, I desire with God's help that we would turn and read together from the Epistle of James, chapter number 3. The Epistle of James, chapter number 3. Želim da se pročita iz poslanice Jakovljeva, treća glava. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May God. Dear ones, the chapter that we have before us is a chapter that is a reminder with the opening words of the gravity of speaking about the truths of God, that you and I, who will speak and point people to Christ, will receive condemnation if we ourselves do not fulfill that which we are teaching. Jesus, the Word of God, teaches us that what profit if a man, if he would save the whole world, but lose his own soul? And this chapter, I didn't choose it. A brother asked me to read it, not pointing to anyone. He said for himself. And it was sincerely a sincere desire just to read this chapter, which really is for every one of us here. Because what is revealed in this chapter is a revelation of who you and I are. Without the governance of the Spirit of God in our lives. And this will also show you and me whether the Spirit of God is the influence in my life that governs my life and my tongue. James is really, if we read the book of James, it's really like the book of Proverbs. There's a series of Proverbs that are throughout this epistle. And he speaks about the tongue. This isn't the first chapter that he's speaking about the tongue. He speaks about the tongue in the first chapter. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, and he talks about the bridling of the tongue here in chapter 3. He said, if he bridles not his tongue, he says, if you seem to be religious and you don't bridle your tongue, in other words, control it, you're deceiving your own heart. So you seem to be religious. You say you're religious, but you're deceived. Why? Because you're committing adultery? Because you're committing idolatry? No. Because you're not bridling your tongue. And he said, this man's religion is vain. Vain is empty. Empty. Not three quarters full, not half full. Empty. That sounds harsh. It doesn't give any leeway. Well, what, you know, I do good things and I intend. My intentions are pure. No, they're not. You don't bridle the tongue. James reveals to us in this chapter why we don't bridle it. He talks about the tongue in this chapter as he says, he compares it. He makes a beautiful illustration for all of us to read and understand. We know that a wild animal, a beast, is so a horse is just majestic and powerful. It could destroy a man in a moment. Its power is unmatched to a man. You can't compare it. And yet it says that a man puts a metal piece in his mouth, a bridle, and he controls the whole body. Wherever he wants it to go, it goes. He compares it then to a ship, a massive ship. We see the ships in the sea, the barges and everything that is out there. He said those are driven by fierce winds, and yet with a little rudder, it goes wherever the governor or the captain wants it to go. And so then he says, so is your tongue. So is my tongue. The same way. He says, it's a little member. And it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It says the tongue is a fire. You know, we've seen forest fires. And all it takes is a spark. And it'll take months to extinguish it. It becomes uncontrollable. And it takes massive amounts of effort to settle what one little spark did. And dear ones, he tells us, by the power of the Spirit directing his pen, he tells us, watch your tongues. Now, he tells us, watch your tongue. And yet, how do we watch it? No, you can't do it. Because he says in verse 8, he says, the tongue no man can tame. You cannot tame your tongue. I cannot tame my tongue. Yet he tells us, watch our tongues. How do you do that? You know, we have sayings, sticks and stones will hurt my bones. You know, but names or words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because we know that words do far more than sticks and stones. They pierce right through the soul of a man. How many times have we heard someone say, from a past of 30 years ago, 50, 80 years ago, they're describing something that someone said to them. It pierced them through the soul. They can't forget it. It's a word. And yet, we say, only sticks and stones will hurt my bones. Yeah, maybe the bones, but that heals. Bones that are broken are healed, they're mended. Wounds are wrapped and healed. But the word that pierces through your soul just remains. You can't get rid of it. And so he says, no man can tame it. No man can tame the tongue. So that tells us that every one of us here is very capable of a sin with the tongue, of a gossip. You know, the damage that can be done as we assemble together in the name of God this morning, in his presence, knowing that he is here with us, and we listen to his word. His word is absolute truth. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We have to just speak it as it says it is. And then we can all be moved. We read this, and I believe that all of us, when we read this, had to feel a little uncomfortable. And we can go here with good intentions. I'm going to tame my tongue. And we walk out of here and we hear a little bit of gossip and we're all over it. And we add to it. And soon in the noon meal time, it's all lost. The word is lost to us. Or we can have something take place right after church services are over, and we dwell upon that, and we forget about the word that we read and what the word is calling us to. And so he says that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. This is the words that proceed out of our mouth. A deadly poison. It says man has tamed beasts. It's tamed serpents. Things in the sea, birds. We see birds of prey. On a command, they come swooping in. They do what they're trained to do. Man has dominion over it. Man has dominion over a killer whale. A killer whale that has no, it's not a hunted animal by any other species. It's a king of the oceans, so to speak. Man tames it. It does what man tells it to do. He said, but the tongue, no man can tame. And so, dear ones, Jesus actually tells us, you know, you can turn to books of self-help. Self-help, give me a list of 20 things to help me. And that's the whole problem with the actual title of the book, self-help. You can't help yourself. Because why? Because the tongue, you can't tame it. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Jesus Christ says, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. A little bit. Nothing. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. You cannot, your flesh cannot tame the tongue. Oh, there's many a man that know when you go in for an interview, you don't say what's on your mind. So you think, okay, I tamed my tongue. No, because this goes far beyond the tongue. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, out of your life, lifestyle. That's the conversation, what it means here. Let him show out of your lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. And so if you have bitter envying and strife, where in your hearts, there's the root. There's the problem. The heart. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. It is set on fire. Who can control the tongue? No one. Who can control the heart? The Holy Spirit. God, who gave you and me life, he gave us our hearts. He alone can transform it. We were born with a human nature. This human nature must go down in the baptism, the watery grave of baptism. The human nature must go down. After it is defeated and overcome by the Spirit of God and put to death upon the cross of Calvary, the human nature must go down. And we are given a new nature, a new heart, a divine nature. And it is God alone now who rules our hearts. And now, with that new heart, our tongues speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, how many times have we heard, oh, I didn't mean to say that? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Solomon says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Solomon says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. So the words that a man speaks are like the piercings of a sword. That's what we said earlier. It goes right to the heart, to the soul, the words. It says, or the tongue is also of the wise, its health. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He says, let him show it out of a good conversation, out of his good lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And don't lie against the truth. When we look at the Ten Commandments of God, do we realize that every one of those commandments are broken by the tongue? When you lie against the truth, in any way, in any manner in which you would break a commandment, you know, it even tells us here, how can a man curse another man and worship God? You worship God this morning. We came together, we worship him, and we leave here and we curse man. Have you ever in your thought, but you don't say it. And you thought, you bridled your tongue. But the Lord knows the thought, and what was in the heart. And so with that word, unspoken word, you've broken the commandment of God. You've broken it, Jesus says, in your lusts, in your anger that you have, you're committing murder, the anger, that's the tongue. That's all coming from the tongue. You can murder a man with the words that you give to him. It's death. You know, when we speak about, and this is probably something that we don't give it too much thought. When we think about a sin, you know, when we counsel with a soul and we talk, what is it that separates man from God? What is it? Why is man and God not one? It's because of sin. Sin is the breaking of the law of God. It's a transgression. And so there's a separation. It's a gulf. The only way that can be closed is through the cross. And so if sin separates man from God, yet somehow we often think about, I would never commit murder. And we watch ourselves from that. We don't want to go into, and so we don't commit murder and we think that we're good people. We don't want to commit adultery because it's a sin unto death or a sin of separation. A man who commits the sin of adultery or a woman is separated from the church. A man who commits and kills somebody is separated from the church. A man who commits idolatry, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is separated from the church. A young man or a young lady who commits fornication is separated from the church. And so man tends to focus upon those things as the tongue is unleashed, because I can always repent of that. You see? We don't want to tame, because the only way to tame the tongue is through the invitation and the yielding of the Spirit of God, who doesn't just change our tongue, he changes everything. And that's not fun for a man who lives in the flesh, who wants to govern, be governed by the flesh, wants to do what feels good for him. And so the man continues in his waywardness. Lust burn deep in his heart. Anger goes on unchecked. Unchecked meaning unrepented of. Hatred builds to the point where there's now suddenly a joy when someone stumbles and falls. Your heart rejoices. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits us nothing. And we think that we can, by the flesh, subdue the flesh. We think that we can say, but when I obey this and this, and I put emphasis on this, then I can say that you're no good. And he says here, you're deceived. You're just deceived. Who deceives? The father of lies. And he says, do you have any envying in your heart? Do you envy anyone? Have you ever thought, I wish I was. Well, you've already lifted yourself up above that person. You've lifted yourself up above God. It's self-glory. You want glory. You want comfort. You want something. And that's envying, and it causes bitter strife. Is there any nice strife? Is there any, oh, this is a nice strife. It's bitter. And we know when a man is bitter, that he's not pleasant to be around. If you have a bitter heart, you think Jesus wants to reign in that heart? You think Jesus can live in a heart that is full of bitterness and envying? and strife. So he says the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Because the pure in heart have given themselves over to the power of the Spirit. And so it's just like this man that has got the bit in the horse's mouth and he's got the reins. Ultimately, the horse still does what the bit is pulling him to do as the commander, the master, the one who has the reins is directing him. So ultimately, the master has to be the one who will guide by the bit. And so also the ship. It's the captain who turns that little part that will make the ship go where the captain wants it to go. And so for you and I to control the tongue, you and I can't do it. We yield ourselves over to God. God makes in us a new heart. And he now, through his Spirit, directs us. He points us to Jesus Christ. He says, follow him. And our tongue is held in check. Not because I'm struggling, not because, ooh, I got to bite my tongue. No, you're not biting anything. There's nothing to bite. It's pure. Your thoughts are pure. Everything is pure. Because it's a wisdom that came from above. You didn't learn it from a self-help book. You didn't learn it from nowhere else. You didn't learn it from a psychiatrist. Long before this was written, all of the wisdom of the Romans and the Greeks was long gone. They futile was their attempt to bring a meaning, some kind of a meaning to life. It's futile because they're doing it without God. There's confusion. Where there's strife, where there's envy. It's confusion. And it says every evil work. So now, we go through life as Christians. We go through life subduing many things by the power of the flesh. By the power of the flesh, I can bite my tongue. I can. People do it. You don't tell your boss off because it's not going to be well with you and your job. You don't do things. You can overcome those moments, but it doesn't change you. You can subdue I'm not going to commit this sin, but it's in your heart. So we can go through life with the power of the flesh. And we then think that we deserve salvation. Look what I did. He said, wisdom from above is gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. I read about Napoleon. I don't know if it's true. It says that a mom comes to him. Some man committed something that he's worthy of death. He's sentenced to death. And the mom comes and begs for mercy for her son. And he says, this is the second time he did this. This is the second time he did this. He doesn't deserve mercy. He deserves justice. The mom says, I didn't come to you for justice. I came to you for mercy. Mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who look upon a man with compassion. He says, that wisdom comes from above. The man who says, oh, that's what he deserves. Oh, I'm so glad. That's a heart that is running wild. And yet, shows his face. And James tells us that there is no partiality with God. No, he doesn't look at you as some great name, some great man, you've achieved some kind of greatness. Or you're at least trying to point other people to Christ by, you know, you're holding strict this commandment of the law while your heart is running wild with the beasts, with everything that is sensual and devilish. Your heart runs wild and free. Now he says, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Easy. How can we have to say, man, those people are so difficult? This man is so difficult. He's difficult to love. He's difficult. Talking about a Christian, why? Why can that be said of a man? It's sensual. It's devilish. Because it's not wisdom from above. It's wisdom from this flesh. It tells us here, it's not coming from above. It's here among you. That's where you're picking it up. And it's without partiality. And there's good fruits. And it's without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There once doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can a fig tree, my brethren, listen to how James is speaking. Can a fig tree, my brethren, isn't that just so full of love? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. There's no tongue. There's no man that says within his heart he serves God and can curse another man. James says your religion is vain. Your religion is empty. You invoking the name of God is empty. You trying hard. And you know, this is natural for a man. I said it. You said it. We all say it. We say, I'm going to work on this. No, you can't work on anything. I can't work on becoming better at this because I have to turn to self-help books to be, if I'm going to do that. No, I have to say, I have to turn to my Lord in faith and rely upon him to change the things that I don't want to change. I have to yield to him in faith that he desires the best for me. And yes, that moment of humility is good for me. God knows best. And so, again, no man can tame it. You're not going to be the first one, and I'm not going to be the first one to do it. James says, no man born can tame his tongue, but he can surrender to Jesus. And in that surrender, the new heart, a divine nature is given to walk in newness of life. How harsh we can be towards someone else. And so forgiving of ourselves. We soon forget what we did 10 years ago. How unruly we were in our walk of faith. We soon forget until we're doing it. Or we see someone that we don't really like. Then we forget. Then we know how to employ the tongue. He's no good. She's no good. Look. Look at this and look at that. But when we do it, then it's okay. Or when we did it, it's okay. Why not? Why not correct those ways? Why not ask for forgiveness? Yes, even if it was 10 years ago. Why not correct the path of condemnation that we had towards others and speak the truth in love? You know, you can come to me with absolute truths from the Word of God and sin as you're talking to me. Isn't that a horrible thing? Why? Because the tongue is an unruly evil that is governed by the heart. It's your heart. It's a matter of the heart. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, that's the heart of the matter. Where is my heart? Where have I yielded myself to? So the fire, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And it says the tongue defileth the whole body. You know, I don't want to go here because I'm going to be defiled. I don't want to do this because I'm going to be defiled. But I can say whatever I want. I'm not going to be defiled, we think. No, it says it defiles everything. Your religion is vain. Your religion is vain because your tongue defiled everything about you. The whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature and the fire of hell. I think this is, when he talks about this fire of hell, he's speaking of eternal damnation, where Satan is, and all who serve him, and all who love a lie. And so we can ask ourselves, does the fountain bring forth bitter waters and sweet? You know, in the same, like I just mentioned, in the same words, you could be bitter and sweet. And so Jesus is telling us through his servant here today. Jesus is telling us. He's telling us these things ought not to be so. Don't come in the last day to the judgment. When I come to judge and set everything right, everything will be set right. Imagine someone not wanting to come to church. Imagine someone not wanting to greet you because of what you said to them or said about them from a Christian. Your religion is vain, empty. Isn't that awful to hear? So what do? We correct those things. We repent. And we yield to the Spirit of God. Lord, create in me that new heart. Yes, I've allowed that human nature, who is always with us. We bury the power of human nature, but we resurrect it when we stop yielding to the Spirit of God that is governing our tongues, governing our life, governing our ways, everything about us. When we yield to nature in which we were born in, what's the first thing Adam did? With his tongue, he sinned against God. The first words when he committed a sin, why did you do this? Oh, it's the woman that you gave me, God. You gave her to me. Sin. Already. And so, dear ones, we are being admonished. We are being instructed and encouraged to yield to the Spirit. If there's anything not right in your life or my life, if there's anything that's not right, you know it and I know it. And so don't allow it, because the religion is vain. If I carry on in it, it's vain. It doesn't matter anymore. And so Jesus says, take up your cross. Follow me. Follow me to the cross, where I took your gossip, where I took your sin, and I was that one that took the wrath of God upon myself, so that you, through my love for you, can turn to me and receive the power that will make you a new man. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.